This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
All right, Place to Be Nation universe, we are back for night two of WrestleMania and our reaction show here. I'm your host, Chris Zellner, joined as always by my co-host, Devin Hales, the Oracle of WWE. And Devin, night one was quite the experience. And we were wondering if Night 2 could live up to it. Well, it definitely was an experience, too, in its own right, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. the first half felt like we were going to have a killer show. And then we hit about a 45-minute brick wall in the middle of the... But... it felt a little long in the tooth, and it was a little long in the tooth tonight. So,
I think the thing tonight was tonight had the most matches that was affected by not being in the stadium.
Yes, I agree.
Almost every match, maybe you could say, would have been a better match in the stadium, except one, which I don't even know we kept that as a match. But but anyway, we'll get going and start talking here. Our kickoff match was Liv Morgan against Natalya. And interesting match here. Liv getting the WrestleMania singles match was good. And about 6 minutes or so was fine. You know, nothing special, but it was, you know, good seeing Liv get the win over Natalya. And they tried hard, and they worked hard, and... there was some, you know, some stiff strikes, but yeah, Nanny putting Liv over. That's great. So served this purpose in that way. I know you're a huge fan of Natalya, so talk about her and Liv getting a WrestleMania win victory.
Having to listen to Natty's trash talk without any fans made me want to gouge my eyes out with spoons. This wasn't bad. I like the little crisscross that Liv put on Natty's ankles for the pin to win the match. So yeah, it was fine, and I was happy that Liv won the match. Liv is one of a number of WWE talent that basically spoiled the results of their matches over the weekend when she posted yesterday, basically alluding that she was going to win. Same thing with Nikki Cross the other day too. But I'm a big Liv fan, so I was happy to see her win.
Yeah, and whenever we get going on whenever everything gets going. But hey, one thing we got to mention about tonight, what they did tonight, they plugged Money in the Bank.
They did.
Which was odd. after reports had come out and said that they're cancel Money in the Bank, they sure were plugging the hell out of it. So they hadn't officially announced it yet, so maybe that's why. But yeah, that was weird. But yeah, I mean, the way it looks, you know, whenever we get back going, Liv will, maybe get some more high profile victories under her belt on Raw. It's obvious Heyman has taken a liking to her. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll definitely see. But good for her and good for Nanny to put her over, you know, clean that way. So, there you go. All right. Next, well, first, the first match on the main show. Well, we had Stephanie doing a video, another video in a different outfit, talking about WrestleMania. Same intro as last night. So, we got that again. Gronk introduced us again, so there's that. Everybody's wearing the same clothes, so they take everything on one night, obviously, so there you go. But Charlotte and Rhea Ripley for the NXT Women's Championship, and Rhea had new gear. You know, Rhea Ripley's been in all black in this new incarnation of herself. But this evening, she was wearing blue tights with white and gold trim and a white top. And it looked great, but I think it went against her character. Before you can talk about the match, what are your thoughts on the gear here?
I thought she looked good in more ways than one. But
she's very attractive.
You know, there's been some discussions. I think Sean Ross Sapp mentioned this. I thought he made a great point recently on Twitter about how they sort of stripped the Rhea Ripley character away and sort of made her like this, like, thank you, WWE, for giving me this opportunity type character, when that was not her character in 2019 at all.
Well, Vince got his hands on her.
Yep.
Well, yep. I mean, it, you know.
Right. But, yeah, this is, she's, it's, it doesn't fit her quite as well. I mean, she was this badass. I mean, like, War Games Rhea Ripley in November is not the same Rhea Ripley now, character-wise.
No.
But, yeah, so that is definitely something worth pointing out. And I do think it has undermined Rhea some with her push and stuff.
All right, so there's that. All right, the match went 20 minutes. And really damn good match. Hard-hitting match. Really good layout psychology of this. Both women were very solid in their roles. Charlotte as the heel working over the body part, and Rhea selling with some really great facials. And yeah, this was very, very strong. So props to the women for that. Charlotte went for a moonsault, but Ripley got her knees up. Charlotte hit a spear that was kind of clunky, but it was what it was. She got a near fall. Then, she got the figure eight, which, you know, Rhea had been, you know, sold her leg pretty much the entire match. So got the figure eight. Rhea tapped out in pain. So Charlotte won the match and is the new NXT Women's Champion. I know that you weren't surprised by the finish, but I was surprised. I mean, I really thought this was going to be Rhea's big, you know, big victory, but the way they worked the match kind of, I mean, it made sense in the finish because, I mean, they had done the leg work for so much in the match. So the fact that Charlotte won with the figure eight and Rhea was in pain and tapped out, I didn't have as big of a problem as I would have had if something else would have happened. So it is what it is. And I made the joke on Twitter that they may have taken the match on for there on NXT Wednesday, where Rhea gets her win back. Charlotte wins just because it's WrestleMania, so she can win at WrestleMania, and then Rhea gets her win back. So who knows? But Charlotte's NXT Women's Champion, this has potential. I mean, it's not the worst idea in the world to have Charlotte NXT, you know, working against those women down there, and gives them somebody to work against. So I don't know. I'm kind of, I won't say conflicted, but I don't know. What's your thoughts on everything?
Match was incredible. I thought it was like a four, like it was like 4-star plus match. It was an amazing match.
Oh yeah. They kicked ass.
It was like really damn good. Straight struggle. They laid it in. Great pacing, great layout, some really good spots. The spear was the only clunky spot basically the whole match. And, you know, it wasn't that bad. You know, it was very minor. Did not hurt the match at all, even. Great finish, even. You know, finish, you know, the match led to the finish. I loved Rhea constantly scrapping and clawing her way out of the figure four. Like, that's how you tease and build to a submission. Just a tremendous match. Just one of the best matches of the year, and in front of nobody. And it was quite amazing how good the match was, really. I was actually a little surprised Charlotte won. I mean, not, you know, nearly as much as some, because I always believe that she gets to win the big matches. I don't know. I just don't know if I would have done that, because you don't know when the next tapings are going to be. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to give her the title and then just let her hold it for 3 months? Maybe. I mean, I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe they did something for Wednesday's NXT show that we don't know about.
Yeah, very true. I also have my suspicions that they could pull out a 10 to 15 person crew and do a couple of week tapings in the next week or two. But that's another discussion for maybe at the end of the show
that nobody knows about. They're doing it on the DL.
I don't know. I'm not a fan of the choice, and it's not even because. Oh my God, they Charlotte all the time. Like, that's always going to frustrate me, but I'm more confused, like, because of the circumstances they're in. You know what I mean? Like, what's the end result here? I still think Rhea is going to end up winning the title back at some point. Don't know when, but that's my suspicion.
Well, here's a thought. What if the plan is for Rhea to jump up to maybe SmackDown or something, and she takes the belt off Bayley?
Could be. That's a great point. That's a very good point.
I mean, there's obviously a thought process. Well, I hope there's obviously a thought process behind this.
Right.
You know, I mean, I hope so. but yeah, I mean, it is just an interesting finish, and I don't know. I mean, it's an opening match on the show, too. That was interesting that it opened.
Right.
You know, but yeah. So, there it is. A shocker, I guess, so to speak. If you were surprised, then that tells me that it was a,
a surprise. That was tonight's surprise.
Yes. So, anyway, yeah, really, really a strong match again. Absolutely. So, props to both them. All right, next, Aleister Black against Bobby Lashley. Aleister Black looked like a Def Clock album cover. For those of you that are fans of Metalocalypse on Adult Swim, you know, let's say a Slipknot album cover, maybe, for people that may get that, with his gear he was wearing there with the horns. And Lashley in long black and gold tights. How about that? Interesting. Wonder if that's a new look for him. But anyway, Lana was there. So I know some people were excited about that. I mean, so they went out and had a decent match. Nothing special again. Lashley was going to go for the spear he was set up for the Dominator first. So he had Black ready to go. Put him in for the Dominator. Lana hopped up on the apron and demanded that he go for a spear. So she's like, okay. So he blew Lana a kiss. He was excited. He dropped Black down. He went for the spear. And as he ran to him, he got nailed with a black mask perfectly on the face. And Aleister Black gets the big win over Bobby Lashley. Another win under Aleister Black's belt. So he's been picking up some pretty decent wins lately on people. So there you go. Black goes over. Lana cost Lashley a match, so maybe there was a little friction going on there. So what are your thoughts on this?
First of all, I thought it was a good, like, undercard Mania match. You know, good sprint, hit their spots, paced well, timed well. I enjoyed it a lot. The biggest disappointment I had is that Lana didn't pull out her phone and do a terrible TikTok video. That was the biggest disappointment for me in this match. But yeah, the finish was odd. Admittedly, like, it was weird. Just, like, didn't work as well. Like, you know, although I think even if the match was like in front of fans probably been like, what the hell. But yeah, this was a good undercard match though. I liked it a good bit actually.
Yeah, and the right guy won. So there you go. Another solid little deal there for the first half of WrestleMania. All right, next we get Kayla interviewing Bayley and Sasha. Bayley says it's unfair to her, blah 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 blah. And everybody's trying to drive a wedge between her and Sasha, and Bayley walked off. And then Kayla told Sasha, you know, you never held this title before, and asked how much that title meant to her, and Banks said, just watch and see what she does. So there you go. There was a little tease there. So then we got the Money in the Bank deal. Gronk then talked to Charlie and said that he's won titles, and that was in his past, but He wants to be the 24/7 champion. Watch out, Mojo. All right. Next, we get Otis and Dolph Ziggler. Of course, we got the video and all that stuff. Talked about the feud. Sonya Deville's with Dolph. Dolph looking completely like Bret Michaels here. Completely like Bret Michaels. They went out and had a match. Fun match. Deville got on the apron. Otis was about to go for the caterpillar after he slammed Dolph. Dolph kicked him low while the ref was distracted. Mandy came out looking amazing. She slapped Sonya very hard in the face. You wouldn't know these two were friends, best friends, so watch that slap. And then she fouled Dolph, gave him a low blow. Otis did hit the caterpillar elbow drop for the pinfall win. Mandy jumps in the ring. She jumps in Otis's arms and kisses him right on the mouth. And we all celebrate in the end. They leave happy together. And yay, Otis wins. And, you know, this feud, I mean, people talk about how it's been built up, you know, and in the way, in a SmackDown way. But people really forget that this whole thing started in NXT, where Otis would post this stuff on social media when Mandy was in NXT. And that was when Mandy was in the relationship with Tino Sabatelli and this and the other. So this whole thing has been, you know, been going on for quite a few years now. And it grew from there until something that happened on the main roster. And then look at the payoff at WrestleMania. Amazing. So God bless Otis. So how'd you feel about this one?
Yeah, this is the best undercard storyline going into Mania. Really well built over months on TV and years, really, like you pointed out. So excellent build. I'm trying to figure out what the point of allegedly Mustafa Ali playing the character of Mr. Robot from USA.
Well, we don't know.
I know.
Sure.
I know, but regardless.
But yeah, that character, yeah, obviously they're going to do more with that. That's not just a one-off deal.
No. I don't think so either. I don't know. I think people think it's Ali. I'm not so sure it is, but that needs to be explained. That's the kind of stuff that bugs me. That like irks me. It's like a pet peeve. I'm like, who is this guy? Like, but
you got to wait for it to play out.
That's true. Yeah, match was fun though. Match was fun. You didn't overstay its welcome. Payoff was great. I loved Sonya's face. Sonya pulled like a Vince McMahon face when Mandy came out. Slap was nasty. Low blow. Kiss at the end. All very well done. Otis gets the girl.
Everybody's happy.
would have gotten a huge pop in a stadium, by the way.
Yes. Again, this show was full of that. Yes. Sad to say. But yeah. So yay, Otis. And we'll see what happens now as they move along in this storyline. All right. So next, last man standing. Edge versus Randy Orton. Now, if this match would have been the stadium, they would just brawl all over the stadium probably and did this and the other. Well, it's just, you know, this is a tape WrestleMania. The constraints are differently. They just brawled around the performance center. And they went 36 minutes and 36 seconds. They, as I mentioned on Twitter, this was basically the Roddy Piper, Keith David fight scene from They Live, but not as compelling and jacked up to the gills. I mean, it was, we'll hit you with everything we can hit you with and all that stuff. And And Tom Phillips and Byron Saxton were talking lower than Jim Nantz and Nick Faldo was doing the Masters. They're basically whispering throughout this. I mean, it was what it was. It was an amalgamation of all the WWE matches like this that we've seen, you know? I mean, what can you say? There was so much that happened here. I can't talk. I mean, so much. But eventually they brawled on top of a tractor trailer truck. And they brought chairs on top of the truck. They used them. Of course, we got, you know, spears and RKOs and all this other stuff. So Edge choked Orton out. And had Orton dead to rights, but he told the referee to quit count. Edge then starts crying. Shawn Michaels alert. He put the chair into Orton and then put the chair on top of him. Hit the concerto. He wins. Edge wins. I said, the finish match of the show was laid out by Shawn Michaels. This is it. And wow. Who knows what we could have gotten? That's all I can think about. Who knows what we could have gotten? This is probably a match that very few people ever watch again. That's what I'm gonna say. This was not bad. It was just long. There's a difference. It was just long. So, where do you stand on this?
I think they probably meant to call it, at least for the fans watching at home, a last man sleeping match. But this was not bad, but I think the length made it bad.
It's just long.
It was just it was endless and endless. I did appreciate the tour of the Performance Center, though. But
well, damn. I mean, look, we've had it I think it would have been different if Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano hadn't done almost the same exact thing on NXT.
Right. And honestly, in a better way.
Yeah, it was shorter.
Yep. And this, my favorite room that they went into, in the Performance Center was that giant office room with a giant steel desk and that weird cage on top. That was probably
the conference room. That's Triple H's conference room. Yeah.
That had to be like a piece of the Hell in a Cell where like Triple H retired Foley or something on top of the ceiling or something. Like I can imagine Triple H like talking to contractors and like telling them to like having this weird thing because he saw Vince's dinosaur thing on the back of his office in Stanford and wanted like a giant steel desk or something. But that whole room amused me, this killed the show. Yeah, you know, I actually thought the match was going to end on a concerto. I thought that was the clear ending. It just took 36 minutes to get there. And Edge weeping was that was. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that makes you embarrassed to be a wrestling fan sometimes. But yeah, it was way too long. Just way, way, way too long.
Yeah, we'll never have that time back again in our lives.
Hold on, we also need to mention the part where Randy Orton tied Edge up on a weight set and said he loved him. I mean, that's probably not the best. That's probably not the best thing to do. So I saw one person tweet out that that Edge should have laid a Bible on by Randy's body after he gave the concerto. We probably shouldn't be laughing at that, but yeah. Best forgotten.
Yeah. it was what it was. Absolutely. My God. So there you go. So after that, what we get next? Mojo Rawley being chased around by a bunch of dudes. Who knows who they were. They start brawling, and they were not exhibiting social distancing. All these guys are jumping on Mojo, and then Gronk on top of the perch there dove off on everybody. And then he pinned Mojo, and he's now the 24/7 champion, and he ran out of the building. So there you go. There's your Gronk moment there. He won a championship. So who knows?
That was clearly less than 10 people. Come on, WWE. Don't let Dr. Anthony Fauci see that. He'll be. But then that was not practicing social distancing right there.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I was appalled by that. No, I really wasn't appalled by that. All right. So next. We get the Street Profits defending the Raw Tag Team Championships against Austin Theory and Angel Garza. Match went about 6 minutes. Fun for a while lasted. Everybody hitting spots. Garza looking like the world's greatest 1999 Billy Gunn with his color scheme of his gear and the way the green, the neon matched the black knee pad as well, like just like Billy Gunn used to wear. Dawkins. Gave Theory his cutter deal he has, and Montez hit the big frog splash. Dawkins pinned Theory, got the win. Then it was 3-on-2 in the Profits after the match until Bianca Belair made her surprise debut. And speared Vega, gave her the KOD, and then Bianca, Montez, and Angelo celebrate after the match, and looks like Bianca is on her way up. Should be main roster now. And a lot of people were thinking that Bianca was going to be the one that maybe took the belt off Charlotte, since that wouldn't have made sense, but it looks like she's going to be with the Street Profits now. It's part of their deal, so. Huh. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, match was good for what it was. Good sprint. This is another instance of in the building with fans. Huge pop for Bianca. And we missed out on that, unfortunately. But still a well-done segment.
Yeah.
And I'm happy that she's where she needs to be, although I have my fears of her just being paired up with these guys. As Rovert amusingly tweeted, Harlem Heat with Jacqueline. But
I don't know.
But I do have my
– I mean, I don't know.
I have some concerns, but it's just started, and if you want to start her out that way for a couple of months, it's not a big deal. But good match, good segment overall. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. It would have been interesting to see how this match would have went but in the stadium, but I don't think this match would have even happened in the stadium. You know, we would probably have some type of either multi-man deal or whatever. You know, I don't think this match would even happen.
I think Bianca would have been in the battle royal, maybe even won it. So,
yeah. All right. So next we get the 5-man elimination match. Oh, excuse me. Titus O'Neil came out and he's announced he's going to host the rest of the show. So good for Titus to get on WrestleMania. All right. Next, we get the 5-way women's match for the SmackDown Women's Championship. Bayley defending against Sasha Banks, Lacey Evans, Tamina, and Naomi. We got a brief little reunion of Team Bad there with Sasha, Tamina, and Naomi doing their little secret hand deal. There, and then of course they attacked each other, so there you go. And lots of shit talking throughout this match by the women, especially Bayley, who at one point when she was almost pinned on a 2 count, Bayley yelled out at Michael Cole as he said that, "No, we didn't," while she was selling. So that was fun. Tamina got eliminated first when Sasha gave 619. Bayley hit the flying elbow. Bayley hit a Sasha hit a frost splash. Lacey hit a moonsault. Naomi hit a split leg and moonsault, and they all pinned her at once. And so it took everybody to beat her. And then Bayley saved Sasha from being eliminated by Naomi. And then Sasha hit the back cracker and then the crossface. Bank statement. Naomi tapped out. So Naomi's gone. This leaves Naomi. Lacey, Bayley, and Sasha. So Bayley and Sasha team up on Lacey. Bayley accidentally hit Sasha. And then Bayley went back to work on Lacey. And then Sasha pulled Bayley off. And they looked like they're about to start arguing, maybe do something. And then Lacey clonked Sasha with the woman's right and eliminated Sasha. Surprise, surprise. And then so Bayley and Lacey started fighting back and forth. Bayley hit Lacey with her finisher after Sasha jumped up and gave Lacey a backcracker to help Bayley win. Bates got the belt, gave it a look before she gave it to Bayley. And then Sasha raised Bayley's arm. Bayley went to the turnbuckle to celebrate. Still friends, which was one of the biggest surprises of the night, I thought. But still friends here, Devin. So what were your thoughts on the match and the finish?
Match was laid out really well. Too long. Probably about 5-6 minutes too long.
Yeah, it went almost 20 minutes, yeah.
They should have definitely shaved off maybe even 7 or 8 minutes. They could have done a four-way, fatal four-way, or, you know, elimination, which I actually prefer.
To me, it didn't need to be at all.
You know, but they could have done this a little bit quicker. I actually thought Bayley and Lacey's work at the end was good. Bayley tying up Lacey to the tag rope, stuff like that was good. It's good work. Lacey had a good kick combo, ending with an axe kick that looked real nasty. So you know they tease Bayley Sasha dissension here, but they don't deliver on it. We don't know where this goes. Bayley's still champ. So it's looked like they're going to play the long game with this. Whether we know what route they're going, we don't. But they're playing. They're at least giving Bayley a super long reign. So there is that.
Yeah, and Bayley's great in her character. Yeah, oh yeah. We got to give her the props on that. She's really coming to her own as a heel character. So, who knows? I mean, say baby Rhea comes up, who knows? And takes it. Or, you know, SummerSlam, is it not supposed to be in Boston this year?
Yes, which I would imagine would probably realistically be the first major show with a lot of fans that we could have. That's the unfortunately, that's probably the earliest.
But, so, maybe something happens where they have a match there.
Right.
So, Bayley and Sasha. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of when. So, all right. So, by this point, I mean, the show is it's going along, but it's starting to feel a little long. You know, it has some fairly long matches. Next, we get the Firefly Funhouse. You know, last night we talked about when we did the reaction for night one and the Boneyard match, which is one of the greatest things ever seen on wrestling television.
Exactly.
We were wondering about how this was going to stack up to that. How are we going to do this to differentiate it? Well, it was different. I made the comment on Twitter that I've never taken LSD or acid in my life, but I think I did by proxy watching that segment. That segment was amazing. And they could never do anything like that again. Because it can't match up to what we saw tonight. I mean, there's so much going on here. So much going on here. We had John Cena and past incarnations of himself. We had John Cena and Bray and the Fiend. Bray Wyatt, not the Fiend. But Cena and Bray going back to Saturday Night's Main Event, where they actually played the Animotion intro, which they'd taken off the network. And Vince Puppet was at ringside announcing with Macho Mercy the Buzzard. It's saying, we got NWO Monday Nitro, where both of them were members of the NWO, Bray being Bischoff and Cena being like Hogan. We got Bray Wyatt going back to 2015 Bray era, 2014-2015 Bray. We got, I mean, so much going on. We got Dr. Thugonomics Cena, like I said, we got all incarnation, Ruthless Aggression Cena. I mean, it was just wild. And then The Fiend actually showed up, put Cena in the claw, and Bray Wyatt counted the pin. So The Fiend won, Cena's body disappeared. They cut to Titus O'Neil back at the perch, who his facial expression said it all. And yeah, this was amazing. That's all I can say. People that wouldn't know what the deal was, and they watch this, they'd be thinking, "Holy shit, what the fuck did I just see?" But people that were in that know you know the history of these guys and Cena and all this other stuff. I mean, this was something that people could enjoy, and yeah, I enjoyed it. I was laughing my ass off. I thought it was crazy. So, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, this was beautifully produced again. Props to Jeremy Borash. Whoever else was involved. I think there's an old guy who used to work for the Indies work on the Indies who's there now. Probably had a hand in the production of that and Boneyard.
Giancarlo. Yep, he probably was involved. Yeah, maybe.
The production was fantastic. Fascinating watch. Saturday night's main event bit was amazing. The song was awesome. I know that popped a lot of 80s wrestling fans. Yeah, this was.
Yes, it popped me.
This was something you can't do again, though, because it's there's not many people you can dish with a segment like this. You know what I mean? Like, especially with Bray and Cena's history, you could maybe do one with Bray and Taker, maybe. But Taker's personality is different than Cena's. You know, it's just something. It's something you probably can't ever do again. But it was awesome one time. I enjoyed it a good deal. It wasn't a match.
Oh no, it was not a match. No,
but it was highly entertaining.
And nobody could tell you it was a match. Enjoyable.
And the ending with Titus, as you know, the Titus ending was a great callback to R-Truth popping up on the network feed after Hell in a Cell 2014 when Bray's hologram caused Dean Ambrose the Hell in a Cell match against Seth Rollins. That was a great callback to an African American man. popping up as a highly amusing moment. Of course, this was actually, you know, done on purpose, whereas the R-Truth one wasn't. But still, the Titus moment is like an all time mania moment for me. But this was a one time thing that is going to be very memorable. Like I said, I don't think you could do it again, but it was quite the 10 or 15 minutes for sure.
Yes. I mean, I got to show this to my people. I got to tell people they have to watch this. I mean, the Boneyard match, I'm going to do that with as well, but this for different reasons.
Right.
So, yeah. A lot of people did not like this, and I can understand, but I enjoyed it. All right, main event time. WWE Championship, Brock Lesnar defeats Drew McIntyre. Once the match placement, I mean, I said this last night on the first show. I've been saying all along, there was no way Drew was not going to win the title, and that the fact this match went on last, you know, totally sealed the deal. There's no way they were not going to do the title change with this match being last. So they went out there and they did a Brock Lesnar match. all the finishers, basically, multiple times. And we got the Claymore kicks. We got the F5s. We got all the psychology with Heyman. Drew eventually hit two Claymore kicks, got the pin. Drew is the new champion. Sucks for him that it wasn't in front of 80,000 people. But there was a touching moment where he looked at the camera and stuck his hand out. Like, you know, he was feeling the fans with that. I love that. That was great. He was still emotional, even though he was doing this in front of nobody. But God love it, man. Drew has worked his ass off to get where he's at, and he got the big win over Brock. Heyman believes in him, so yeah, Brock doing another big job at WrestleMania, Devin.
Yeah. Yep. He did. The one count after the F5 would have gotten an amazing pop. Another thing that would have just blown the roof off of a 80,000 seat stadium. Because I guarantee you they would have done that live in 80,000 seat or two. Yeah, you know, going back, my opinion on the match has changed a little bit in the last hour. So it really wasn't that good of a match, but it was the right match. You know what I mean? Like, it would have worked better with fans. I think it was probably the match the most out of, except for maybe Otis and Ziggler, that would have worked so much better with fans. And you know, I like both matches, but this would have worked a ton better with fans. But Drew still got his moment. You know, it was done quick and done well. The moment we reached out to the camera was awesome, like you mentioned. You know, good, you know, strong ending to the show.
Yeah, definitive. Like I said, new champion. It was like a new type of era. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So, really good. Oh, and we can't. Excuse me. I should have mentioned this earlier. We got this was really good shit, as the Vince Buffett said during the 5-on-1 house match. That was the moment of the match right there. This is good shit.
Oh man, that was good.
Whoever was in charge of that, they deserve a raise. Just like the Boneyard match. Alright, so thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle. Where do you stand on night two of WrestleMania?
I'm actually still going to give it a thumbs up because I think the results were actually better tonight. Charlotte was the only one that I was not thrilled with, but the more bright people won this time, so I'm actually going to give it a thumbs up, but it's not as definitive as it was last night because of the length, and Ed Jordan was such a disappointment. But it's still a solid thumbs up.
Yeah, I mean, Cena and Bray. It's Bray being what it was. Charlotte and Rhea being such a strong match. The main event finish. So, yeah, I enjoyed it. Even with Edge and Orton being the marathon it was. And again, to me, that's the match that was hurt the most because that wouldn't have been worked that way. As far as a match, moment-wise, Drew, definitely, absolutely. But, yeah, so, yeah, another strong effort from WWE. And who knows, you know, when the next time they'll be able to run a major show. So, WrestleMania went out with a bang, and you know, night one, I guess we both could agree, night one was a better overall, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we agree in that way. So now the discussion is, you know, there's been, you know, talk out there that, you know, that we mentioned on the previous show, Triple H, talking about how they're going to reevaluate some things, you know, and how they do things with this period and doing different things. So, do you think that we've seen the last of the WWE as we know it? How they do television and other things? Do you think that we're going to see some type of different version of WWE?
Yes and no. Yes, but maybe not quite as much as we think. I think the answer is yes. Because even when things get back to the new normal, I think that's an important word to use, the new normal, because that's what it's going to be. I think we'll get back to the regular setting more so, but I do think the cinematography and the cinematic approach to wrestling will be capitalized on and used much more, you know, for the foreseeable future and for now on, you know, depending, no matter how long we're in this crisis. And when we get out of the crisis, it's going to be, you know, something that's going to be a part of WWE television for forever, really. The capacity and how much they use it, I'm not sure, but it's definitely going to be a big part going forward from now on. I'm pretty confident in that.
I'm kind of wondering if now they'll embrace maybe taping television and smaller venues.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, not with empty venues, sure, but smaller venues, you know?
And, you know, depending on how things go with this pandemic, you know, early summer, late spring, May, June, whatever, if, you know, being, you know, maybe you can get 100 people into a building. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to make any, you know what I mean? But the point is that might be something they have to do. So, that's something that's probably not a bad idea for necessity and for going outside of the box sake.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Because, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, WWE television, and they have done some different things, but it's been so much of the same stuff for the past 20-something years in a lot of ways.
It has. So. And let's make it clear. You know, the two things we know are that Raw and NXT have been taped for this week.
I have
seen some discussion that SmackDown was as well. I'm feeling it probably was. There's not strong evidence, but I would not be shocked if it was.
Yes.
WWE gets paid millions and millions of dollars by USA and Fox. Raw and SmackDown and NXT are happening every week going forward. We just don't know what's going to be on. We don't know if it's going to be old pay-per-views, old matches, you know, 1-2 people in a studio standing 6 feet apart, you know.
Zoom meetings.
Like we don't know. But Raw and SmackDown and NXT, they're not going away. WWE's getting paid way too much damn money. So there will be wrestling on TV, maybe not live current wrestling that was maybe not even something that was taped a week ago, you know. But there will be wrestling on TV. So do not be concerned. WWE's making way too much damn money to not have content for those TV stations and channels. Trust me. They're gonna be on TV. We just don't know what yet.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, that's it for us. Who knows when we'll be back? We don't know.
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say right now we'll be back in May or June to do a Performance Center Money in the Bank. That's my prediction right now.
Well, I'm glad you're optimistic. I'm glad you're optimistic. Because the way I see motherfuckers acting, you know, right now, I don't know. And, yeah, it's just, it's a big who knows. But, well, we hope you enjoyed listening to us on these shows. And we'll be back sometime. So, this isn't goodbye, but it's so long. So, for Devin, this is Chris, and so long from the Peach State of Georgia.